Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoorah! I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel, sitting in for the vacationing Colonel Denny Gillum, who is off on a top-secret mission. I can't tell you exactly where he is, because that would violate operational security. This is just a shot in the dark, but I'm guessing it's someplace very warm, and there's an umbrella in his drink. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is my son and junior co-host, Cedar Coriel. What's up, Cedar?
Nothing much, Dad, just being young.
Well, that's a good thing. This is radio, so people can't see that your hair is getting longer, son. Would you like me to cut that for you?
Well, no.
Well, I can do it. I do know how. I went to Marine Corps Barber School. We use a K-bar, and it's very fast.
You know, I think you're just jealous, because I'm young and my hair still grows.
Well, there's a little bit of truth in that. You're young and my hair is falling out, so we'll revisit it later on. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Noncom, I'll be discussing the rising danger of wokeness in our military in a very creative and unusual way. I think you'll like it. And then we'll have a set of twin brothers on the show who were arrested by the FBI, charged for plotting to kidnap the governor of Michigan, and who were also acquitted of all charges. Then we'll meet church security expert P.J. Jablonski. Of course, we'll speak with General Chris Petty and the Battle of the Month. Then we'll wrap up the show with our weekly mailbag, military history, and the self-defense report.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you would also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for News and Comment by the Noncom on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What do you have for us, Cedar?
The U.S. Department of Defense is warning Congress of continued military recruitment struggles as the country will enter the new year with its smallest fighting force since before World War II. Ashish Vazirani, the Pentagon's acting Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness, told the House Armed Services Committee on Wednesday that the Army, Navy, and Air Force missed their 2023 recruitment goals by a combined 41,000 personnel, the Daily Mail reported. The annual defense authorization bill passed by Congress earlier this week stated that active duty troops will drop to 1,284,500 in fiscal year 2024, which is down by 64,000 troops over the past 3 years, giving the U.S. military its smallest force since 1940, according to the Military Times. Some branches of the armed force have gone to more extreme lengths recently to boost their recruitment levels. Earlier this year, the Navy made Yeoman Second Class Joshua Kelly an active duty sailor and drag queen, one of five Navy digital ambassadors in a pilot recruitment program. The Air Force made a move in April to recruit more Americans into its ranks by decreasing weight standards. The strategies didn't appear to work, as both the Navy and the Air Force are expected to be down thousands of airmen and sailors from its 2021 numbers. The Army is facing the largest recruitment problem out of the military branches, as it's down over 40,000 troops over the past 3 years. The Marine Corps, which, along with the Space Force, met its most recent recruitment goal, and it is still expected to be down by nearly 9,000 active-duty service members compared to the fiscal year 2021. The Pentagon is seeking to change the direction of the military's poor recruiting numbers by developing a message that resonates with young Americans, according to Vazirani.
Folks, this is not good news. The threats by China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea continue to grow, and our ability to carry out a military mission continues to shrink. How is this news going to deter foreign aggression against the U.S. and her allies? The answer is it will not, and America needs to solve this problem, and fast.
North Korea on Sunday fired a short-range ballistic missile into the sea, South Korea said, in a possible display of defiance against the latest steps by Washington and Seoul to tighten their nuclear deterrence plans against North Korean threats. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said the missile was fired from an area near the North Korean capital of Pyongyang around 10:38 p.m. and flew 354 miles before landing in the sea. The South Korean military said it was sharing the launch information with the United States and Japan to further analyze the details while maintaining readiness against the possibility of additional North Korean military activities. It criticized the launch as a clear violation of UN Security Council resolutions that ban North Korea from using ballistic technologies. North Korea's latest launch followed high-level security talks between American and South Korean officials in Washington over the weekend, where they agreed on plans to update their nuclear deterrence and contingency strategies and incorporate nuclear operation scenarios and their combined military exercises next summer to cope with the North's evolving threats.
The timing on this is obvious. Kim Jong-un doesn't like the U.S. and South Korea allying to defend one another. North Korea has long wanted to annex the South, but the U.S. is standing in its way. Kim Jong-un is at best childish and at worst insane. Let's just hope and pray all his missiles stay on course and splash into the sea without escalating into an all-out nuclear war.
A U.S. warship shot down 14 suspected attack drones over the Red Sea on Saturday, and a Royal Navy destroyer downed another drone that was targeting commercial ships. The British and American militaries said Houthi rebels in Yemen have launched a series of attacks on vessels in the Red Sea, one of the world's busiest shipping routes, and have launched drones and missiles targeting Israel as the Israeli-Hamas war threatens to spread. U.S. Central Command said that the destroyer USS Kearney, quote, successfully engaged 14 unmanned aerial systems, end quote, launched from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. UK Defense Secretary Grant Shapps said that HMS Diamond fired a Sea Viper missile and destroyed a drone that was targeting merchant shipping. The overnight action is the first time the Royal Navy has shot down an aerial target in anger since the 1991 Gulf War.
Here's the problem, folks. None of this was happening during the Trump administration, primarily because the bullies and rogues of the world knew better. Trump strengthened our military, and this sent the clear message that nonsensical aggression like this wouldn't be tolerated. Biden is weak. Therefore, America is seen as weak. That's a problem we must rectify at the next election.
A second drill sergeant has been found dead at Fort Jackson in South Carolina in just over a week, the U.S. Army said on Monday. Staff Sergeant Zachary L. Melton, age 30, was found unresponsive Saturday inside his vehicle on the base, the U.S. Army garrison Fort Jackson said in a news release. Melton, a drill sergeant with the 1st Battalion, 34th Infantry Regiment, was located by unit personnel after he failed to report for work. "We are extremely saddened by the loss of Staff Sergeant Milton," said Fort Jackson's commander, Brigadier General Jason Kelly. "Our thoughts are with his family and the soldiers of the Always Forward Battalion during this very emotional time." No cause of death was immediately provided, though the Army said the U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Division is investigating. Officials said military chaplains and behavioral health personnel are being provided to support members of the unit. Less than 2 weeks before Melton's death, 34-year-old Staff Sergeant Alan Bertram was found dead on the base after he had failed to report to work, the Columbia Post and Courier reported. Officials had said Bertram's death was also being investigated, though there were no signs of foul play.
Frontlines of Freedom is also saddened by the loss of Staff Sergeant Melton, and we sincerely hope the Army gets to the bottom of this before a third soldier dies. And that's the news. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the non-com, then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom with Roland Ashby. Then we'll talk with Bill and Mike Null about what it's like to be arrested by the FBI. I'll give you a hint. It wasn't very fun. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. for the servicemen and women of this great country. We are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Next time you upgrade to a new cell phone, don't throw your old one away. If your old phone can hold a charge, you can stage this phone for emergency use in a home defense situation. Every cell phone, whether on contract or not, has the ability to call 911. Keep an old phone in the glove box of your car as well as your safe room just in case. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the non-com. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there lived two nations. For 1,000 years, they lived at peace with one another, but then they had a falling out. They disagreed on who should be the biggest dog on the block, and slowly but surely, they became hostile until one day, war seemed inevitable. Rather than go to all-out war where millions of people on both sides would die, they took a more civilized approach. Each of the two countries chose a champion to fight for them, and the country who won would become the lone superpower on the planet. The first country, called Reality, chose one of their best fighters. He was the former world champion cage fighter and a special forces soldier. He was 6.5 feet tall and 275 pounds. The second country, called Wokedom, took a different approach. They highly valued cultural diversity, sensitivity, gender fluidity, intellect, and equality. They chose a college professor who was 5.5 feet tall and weighed 142 pounds. On their chosen day, both champions met in the arena to do battle. They couldn't agree upon the rules, so no rules were chosen. The country of Wokedom, confident of their moral superiority, firmly believed that the gods would favor them, which was a bit odd since their champion was an atheist. When the bell clanged, the college professor strutted out cockily, dressed in a pink pullover sweater, sporting neon green and purple hair, and wearing a leather miniskirt, as on this particular day, he'd chosen to identify as a female of the species. Using his superior morality and intellect, he'd reasoned that the Neanderthal he was fighting wouldn't be able to bring himself to hit a woman, so he would win by default. Cage fighter walked out and began laughing so hard he couldn't stand up straight. Seizing this opportunity, the transgender college professor pulled back his right fist and punched his opponent in the face as hard as he could. Much to his chagrin, the cage fighter didn't fall down. In fact, he stopped laughing. The college prof stood in shock as the cage fighter reached both hands around his throat and lifted him up off the ground. The professor tried to protest, using his superior oratory skills, but couldn't speak without air. The cage fighter lifted the professor over his head and slammed him to the ground. The professor's body bounced once and then came to a stop. He struggled to lift his head as blood flowed down his face and onto the ground. Now that he could talk, the professor chose his words wisely in order to bring his superior intellect to bear. You can't hit me. I'm a woman. But the Neanderthal cage fighter and special forces operator seemed to not understand the relevance of the professor's statement. Without a reply, he kicked the professor in the head several times until he lost consciousness. The president of Reality held out his thumb and turned it down to point at the ground, at which time the cage fighter unsheathed his bayonet and cut off the professor's head. The president of Wokedom was aghast. He simply couldn't believe that any person or country could be so transphobic and insensitive. He turned to his adversary and attempted to chastise this uncivil behavior. "This is outrageous. We will lodge a formal protest to the League of Countries and you'll be sanctioned severely." The armed forces of Reality then launched a limited nuclear strike, taking out most of Wokedom's missile silos, followed quickly by an all-out amphibious and air attack on Wokedom. Wokedom was horrified and filled with righteous and moral outrage, but they were soon overwhelmed and defeated. You see, Wokedom had spent most of their military budget on sensitivity training, electric tanks that didn't work, solar-powered jets that didn't fly, and on transgender medical procedures that weakened their soldiers. To top it off, they disarmed all their civilian population, who was so grossly overweight that they couldn't get out of their recliners, much less fight on a battlefield. The planet was soon enslaved, and all hope and freedom vanished from the land. Now, to be fair, this is just a story. It's just fiction, and we all know this could never happen here in America. So all of us can relax and go back to watching The View. Or perhaps, just perhaps, something like this could really happen here on planet Earth, and we need to learn the lesson that the laws of reality always reassert themselves once evil gains strength. It's possible that America has gone too far, that if we want to survive in the real world, we need to wake up and smell the woke that many of our leaders have been shoveling. Is it possible? But then again, perhaps I'm overreacting. After all, it's just a story. It could never happen here in America. And those are my comments for today. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel, and you're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Thanks, Skip. Well, it looks like a very Merry Christmas for our troops, as they'll see the largest pay raise in 20 years. The 2024 defense bill locked in a 5.2% pay raise for service members. President Biden is saying the legislation, quote, provides the critical authorities we need to build the military required to deter future conflicts while supporting the service members and their spouses and families who carry out that mission every day, unquote. While that's a nice thing to say, but the military establishes an annual pay increase to roughly mirror the increase in private sector wages, and that's based on the Department of Labor's Employment Cost Index, which for 2024 was 5.2%. The President and Congress could have overruled this by increasing or decreasing the percentage, but they just went along with the automatic adjustment. So a service member with a pay grade of E1 will receive an estimated $2,017 per month in basic pay. However, this really doesn't tell the story, as most service members are only in E1 while they're in boot camp. A better example would be an E6 enlisted member with 10 years of service, and they will earn an estimated $4,388 a month. Now, the NDAA not only approved the largest pay increase in two decades, but it also took on some of the current culture landmines. For example, the bill dropped the Republican provisions that would have blocked the Pentagon's existing policies of covering travel for troop members seeking abortions and gender affirmation care for transgender service members. But it did include the GOP provision to freeze hiring for Pentagon jobs focused on diversity initiatives. It also bans the promoting of critical race theory, which the bill defines as the theory that people of certain races bear collected guilt and are inherently responsible for the actions committed in the past by those of the same race. Now, there's also an increase to the Basic Allowance for Housing, or BAH, which provides money to cover service members' housing and related costs in the civilian market. That's when government quarters are not provided. BAH is based on pay grade, number of dependents, and the location of the service member's duty station. The national average saw BAH rise 5.4% from 2023 to 2024. Historically, BAH rates have been directly tied to the cost of the rental housing in local markets. Now, military retirees and disabled veterans are not going to see as high of an increase. See, their rates are tied to the annual cost of living adjustment, which for 2024 is 3.2%. Now, while this may seem low, it's still higher than the average increase over the last 20 years, which was 2.6%. So in any case, everyone's going to have a Merry Christmas. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Skip.
Thanks, Roland. You are without a doubt the smartest coastie I know. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll be discussing what it's like to be arrested, charged, tried, and acquitted for supporting a plot to kidnap a sitting governor. Then we'll meet P.J. Leblonsky and discuss armed church security. All this is coming up. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50 good ones, take a break, and do 50 more during each break. If it makes you puke, that's allowed. Then stand at ease.
The U.S. is more than $32 trillion in debt, a number that is going up by the second. Meanwhile, our country faces expanding global threats while our military readiness is consumed with unnecessary engagements elsewhere.
If we want to be safe in the future, we need to get our debt and spending under control. Visit CVAfrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAfrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Folks, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. All right, and now it's an honor to welcome two brothers to the show. They're from Michigan. In fact, they're twin brothers, Mike and Bill Null. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, boys.
Hey, how's it going, Skip?
It's going great. It's going great. You guys just have an incredible story to tell, and I want to give you as much time as possible. This is a national story about the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot. I'm on Wikipedia right now, and Bill and Mike, I'm just going to read you a short synopsis of what Wikipedia thinks happened during that whole thing, and then you guys can tell your side of the story, because it might be different. Sound good?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. According to Wikipedia, on October 8, 2020, the U.S. FBI announced the arrest of 13 men suspected of orchestrating a domestic terror plot to kidnap American politician Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, and otherwise using violence to overthrow the state government. Some have labeled the attempt as an example of stochastic terrorism, where violent rhetoric by prominent figures inspired the plot. Half of the suspects were tied to a paramilitary militia group that called themselves the Wolverine Watchmen. Six of the suspects were charged in federal court, while the other seven were charged with state crimes. A week later, a 14th suspect was arrested and charged in state court. Two men pleaded guilty and offered to testify on behalf of the prosecution as part of a favorable plea deal, while five men were acquitted at trial. Two other men were later found guilty of kidnapping, conspiracy, and conspiracy to possess weapons of mass destruction. One of those men was also convicted of another explosives charge. Three other men were later convicted of felony counts of gang membership, providing material support to terrorism, and illegal weapons possession in the first state trial stemming from the case. All right. Well, that sounds like pretty serious stuff, but let's get your side of the story, because you guys were arrested by the FBI. You were charged, you were tried, but you were both acquitted. Let's start with Bill. Bill Null, what is your response to what I've just read?
Well, it's, I guess it's their pipe dream is what they just drummed up there on Wikipedia. The truth about that whole case was the FBI, they funded, they orchestrated it. They held the trainings. It was their militia group, the 3% Patriot Militia. They actually asked Adam Fox to be the Michigan commander of the 3% Patriot Militia. The only
so the FBI created their own militia group for the purpose of this plot?
Absolutely. Their informant by the name of Steve Robeson, he was the national commander of the group. He was in Wisconsin. That's where he was from. His story was that he helped law enforcement track down and stop child sex trafficking and stuff. He had a 501c3 that he had set up, and that's where he would get people to give him credibility, I guess, is because he helped law enforcement with the sex trafficking. That was all a lie. He's actually a pedophile and a multi felonies on his record. Matter of fact, he was just charged with another felony. I think it was out of DC. He pled guilty. It was a felony theft charge, and they pretty much slapped him on the wrist, and the only thing he got out of it was a $500 fine. He didn't get any jail time, no probation. So he's obviously still working with the FBI, but they burn him in our case so that he couldn't testify on behalf of the government or the defense. Adam Fox and Barry Croft were both set up by Steve Robeson. The only group out of the entire Patriot 3% group that wasn't an FBI agency was Adam's group. They put an agent right in with Adam's group, so his group still had FBI in it, besides the actual confidential human source.
Who in all of this came up with the idea to plot to kidnap the governor? Was it you? Was it Adam? Who come up with this idea to kidnap the governor?
Well, that's yet to be determined on which agent come up with the idea. It was the FBI's plan the whole time. Simultaneously, as the FBI's trying to get Adam talked into something stupid, the Wolverine Watchman, the second in command of their group, was FBI confidential human source named Dan. He's the one that started talking crazy with the Wolverine Watchman, and he's the one that implemented the plan in that group. We were actually not a part of either group, so we had our own militia. We'd been a militia for like 5 years before any of this ever took place, but...
Well, this is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're speaking with Mike and Bill Null about the Michigan governor kidnapping plot. Okay, so Bill, let's talk about how did the FBI go about arresting you? Because most of our listeners have never been arrested by the FBI. So tell us the story of what happened on that fateful day.
Well, my brother and I, we had just drove to Lansing and bought a new pickup, well, new to us. And on our way home, I stopped at the Orangeville gas station to get fuel in it. And I don't even know how many state police and FBI agents showed up, and they arrested us in the gas station parking lot. Then they promptly, while we were being arrested there at the Orangeville gas station, they sent a team to my house. The wife told me there was like 60 or 70 agents, state police and Allegan County Sheriff's Department showed up in Barry County. They ordered everyone out of the house. They threatened to shoot my wife. She was trying to get on the phone with the family, see what was going on with me. And they threatened to shoot her. So she just threw her phone down. My dad was here. He was listening to their commands, but he's hard of hearing. And they yelled at him multiple times. And then they told him that if he didn't do exactly as he was told, that they were going to put him down like a dog. After everyone was out of the house, Mike and I were already arrested. They drove an MRAP through the side of my house through my slider door. For 4 hours, they had my wife and my children and my dad handcuffed in a car. Then they ransacked the entire house. They destroyed thousands of dollars worth of stuff in the house. They finally released my family to the rest of for other family members. And then they continued to ransack the house for another 4 or 5 hours. In total, it was like an 8 or 9 hour deal here at the house. The whole time, we didn't even know what was going on at the point in time. We just knew we were being arrested. They didn't even tell us what we were arrested for until they took us to the casino to interrogate us.
Well, why would they take it to a casino to interrogate you instead of a police station?
Yeah, it's basically federal land. You're leaving the state of Michigan to go to federal land so they can do their interrogation. So it's, FBI, and it's federal territory. So,
well, it's tribal land by treaty. The tribe pretty much makes the rules for that. And apparently they just cooperated. I wonder if they took you to tribal land so that you're technically outside the United States and they have more latitude or more leeway as far as their questioning. And maybe you didn't have as many rights on tribal land. I guess that's my guess.
Yeah, it's definitely there was a purpose to it. Again, besides it being like, if it's not a part of the state, it's a territory. So then therefore the federal government is basically in charge there per, mm-hmm. like you said, the treaty.
You were already in custody and they took your family out, threatened to kill them. Did they handcuff them? Did they take them into custody? What did they do with your family during those hours?
They handcuffed them and threw them in cars for 4 hours.
Wow, that must have terrified them.
Yeah, I had a 13-year-old boy and a 16-year-old boy at the time. They were pretty shooken up about it. The 13-year-old definitely took it pretty hard. He's not a big fan of police or anything now because of what they did to him.
Yeah, I think that's called PTSD, and that's just really sad, unfortunate. I'm sorry that happened to your family, Bill. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're speaking with Mike and Bill Null, and we have a lot more to discuss because this is a huge story, folks, so please stay with us. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many Colonel Gillum does every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We will be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Mike and Bill Null, two brothers who were arrested, charged, tried, and acquitted in the kidnapping plot against Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Bill, we heard your story last segment. Let's move over to your brother, Mike. Mike, you have a similar story, but obviously it's a little different. What is your story?
Yeah, Bill covered a lot. There's so much involved in it, you know, from corrupt everything, from the government being corrupt about the prosecution, the investigation, everything is just kind of like a Hollywood movie. Yeah, they just orchestrated everything. They were in charge of everything. They drove most people around that got charged. When they invited everybody to go to a training, if people couldn't make it, they would. One time, the FBI rented a bus or a cargo van or whatever, was able to pick everybody up and drive them around without the FBI actually being there. None of us would have ever even met, I don't believe, you know, other than maybe rallies or something, but we certainly wouldn't have known anybody. And actually, we didn't know most of everybody. We'd met them. We worked security quite a bit in 2020. I personally believe this whole thing was a political vendetta against my brother and I. We stopped a lot of stuff at rallies, kept everybody peaceful. Problem is, I think we made too much noise. We Wood TV 8 did a segment on us, and then Dana Nessel had that pulled the very next day, and then pretty soon it was
How does Dana Nessel intercede with the press? How does she have the power to pull a news coverage?
Well, being the attorney general, you know, she's got a lot of leeway. I believe her office just made a phone call, and I screenshot her Facebook post thanking them for changing the story. And then they did an interview with one of her people and changed the whole story, basically saying it's not a good idea to run to guys with guns to protect you. It's like, then police are guys with guns. They also gave us a plea deal right out of jail. When we got out of jail, they gave us a plea deal that if we turned off.
You mean that they offered you a plea deal?
Yep. We didn't get any paperwork, but my attorney said, if you guys have dirt on Darleaf, they will potentially drop your charges.
Okay. So who is Darleaf for the, this is a national audience here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Darleaf's the Berry County Sheriff. He was also speaking out against the unconstitutional lockdowns, and the police, they seen that people were getting, you know, a lot more domestic violence. Your home you're stuck at house. People are drinking a lot more. So there was definitely an uptick of everything. And so he started to make sure that people were getting out and not being harassed so that it would help out. And he was at a lot of the rallies as a speaker, and we were working security. So of course, in trial, they would bring that up as us showing us working security and stuff. And there was other people that were charged in the plot that were at these places, but we didn't actually know them. So they would just fabricate a story. Trial isn't like what everybody thinks. The prosecutors can lie to the jury, and they get away with it because the judge gives the jury an instruction that says that whatever the lawyers or attorneys say is not evidence. So it's answers to questions that are evidence. But, okay, you know, how many people get a conviction on closing arguments which aren't evidence, and they can lie about you? And they did.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking FBI raids and kidnapping plots with Mike and Bill Null. Okay, so if I've got this clear, you live in Berry County, correct?
I live in Plainville.
Okay, so you live in Allegan County. The raid was in partly in Allegan County and partly in Berry County. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
But the FBI must have gone to the Allegan County Sheriff and said, okay, here's the story. We've got domestic terrorists. They're here in your county and in the adjacent Berry County. But they didn't go to the Berry County Sheriff, even though they were going to be arresting you inside his county, because they already believed or wanted to believe that the Berry County Sheriff was a domestic terrorist just like you. Does that sound accurate?
Well, I don't know if they thought he was a domestic terrorist. I just know that we had pictures taken with him, and it's political. They wanted him out of office. So what better way?
Yeah. Well, I think you're probably right. I know the sheriff personally, and I know that he was vocal against the lockdowns. He felt that there were some constitutional problems with that. And so, you know, he was vocal about that. And I don't think the governor or the attorney general liked that. And so I do know that they had gone after him before that unsuccessfully. And so they wanted to get him, and the FBI was more than willing to help, I suppose. Now, they went to your house as well. How did that go down, Mike?
They had arrested me at the gas station in Orangeville at the same time they arrested Bill, and my wife was with me. So they had me in handcuffs already, so they're safe if I'm the scary one. They had my wife in handcuffs. So they sent the SWAT team to my house, knowing that my daughter was home alone, because both my wife and I had told them that.
And how old is your daughter?
She was 13 at the time.
Okay.
So she's home alone. They know it. They took an MRAP, run it over top of one of my cars, busted down my door.
If some people don't know what an MRAP is, what exactly is that?
It's a giant armored up big truck.
So it's an armored military vehicle.
Yes, sir. This, I assume it had a battering ram on it, and they just knocked my door right off the hinges. They sent a drone in, and my daughter was trying to call us, obviously, and pretty scared. And then they finally get her to come out of the house, and she still had her phone on her trying to call us. And as she comes out of the house with a phone in her hand, they start screaming at her to put her phone down, and she tried to put it in her pocket. And that's when they almost shot her on the front steps. But then she's a female, so they've got all these men searching her, patting her down, and not letting her make any phone calls. And then, again, she was in handcuffs and locked in a car for hours.
She was by herself in the back of a cop car, handcuffed, terrified, for a couple of hours.
Yep.
How does that make you feel, Mike?
Well, I get pretty emotional about it. Out of everything, that's what really angers me the most. That, you know, these guys knew that we knew law enforcement. Everybody at the Capitol, all the police at the Capitol, they know us. We were there 5 years straight working security at the Second Amendment rallies. We're there all the time. Even if they're going to arrest us, they could have done this differently. They could have notified us. They could have done other things to where we could have gave ourselves up. Out of everybody, they knew that we were not what was being suggested. They literally had no evidence against me whatsoever. That in it trial, they called us the Null Brothers. It wasn't a trial against Bill Null and Mike Null. It was the Null Brothers, and they just fabricated so much stuff. So it's just crazy, to say the least.
Oh, absolutely. Sounds like a nightmare. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel, and we're speaking with Mike and Bill Null about problems they have with the FBI and the state police and the attorney generals, all kinds of problems. This concludes the first hour of the show, but hey, we are going to come back and we're going to talk more with Mike and Bill and finish up their story and get some of their special insight. And then we'll talk about church security with PJ Labonsky. And don't forget the battle of the month with General Chris Petty. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops do 30 pull-ups, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.